And he doesn't, he's not trying to hold us off, folks. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He is inviting us to come in. And we all know it's abundantly evident that we can't achieve holiness in our own strength. There is evidence upon evidence when we look around that people cannot achieve that, but yet he invites us to come on and enter in. And he is able to cause you and I to be victorious. And I thank him for that, folks. I'm grateful we don't have to be slaves to sin. And John looked at it and he said that Jesus, he came to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
He didn't just come to attack it and hope to win a few victories. He came to destroy it. That means get rid of it. Well, he hadn't lost his power since Calvary. It's still the same. And I thank him for that. Sister Porter a while ago, Sister Janice Porter, was praying, and she mentioned about some of the songs that we sang, kind of military songs. We had one, Press the Battle On, didn't we? Forward, forward is the battle cry. Well, the devil doesn't like that when he hears the saints getting together and saying, let's keep going, saints. Oh, don't get your head down. Look up.
Amen.
The devil hates that when he hears the saints getting together saying, brother, get courage. Come on.
Yeah.
The victory is just over the hill. The devil hates that. You know why? Because he knows he's losing. He's losing. If we were fighting this in the flesh, we'd lose. But we're not fighting it in the flesh. There is one going before us, calling us to victory. And not just one victory, as Brother Ted mentioned, victory into victory. Just keeps on. And the Lord has that for you and I today. That doesn't mean we don't have some troubles. Nor do we have, that mean we don't have trials. I think most of us have lived long enough trying to serve in the service of the Lord to realize that we're going to have some times that things will come our way that are difficult. Many are the afflictions, are the things that come against the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He hadn't rescinded that promise either. That's still in vogue. I would like to read over here in John, the 20th chapter. The disciples, you know, Jesus had went to Calvary and they put him in the grave. And what I'm about to read to you is something, is an account where he had risen now from the grave and he had appeared to some, and there was one that had not been in the midst whenever he had appeared to him. And they came and told Thomas, they said, he's risen.
Yeah.
And Thomas said, I didn't see him. He said, I've got to put my fingers in the holes in his hands, put my hand in his side. He said, I don't believe you. But this is what I want us to get a hold of and hopefully be the theme by the help of the Lord of our message here this morning. Let's start with the 24th verse and I'm going to read on down. Of the 20th chapter of John. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, except I shall see his hands, the print, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Have you ever found yourself in such a downcast position? Such a place that you felt like you couldn't rise from where you'd landed? And everything about you cried out and said, there's no hope. I believe Thomas was in that place. And even the good news that came to his ears couldn't penetrate the unbelief. But there was one that could. And I want you to know, if you have found yourself, or if today you're in that place, that you feel like you have fallen so hard and landed so solidly that you'll not be able to rise again, I want you to know Jesus knows. And he hasn't left you. Thomas was in this condition. And the next verse ought to ring great hope in all of our hearts. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. And Thomas was with them. Then, and this is what I want us to get a hold of, then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. The doors being shut. Then came Jesus. And I hope we can get a hold of that, and I hope the Lord himself just burns that into our memory and into our mind today. In the middle of wherever we are, whatever we are in life, if we come to places that it seems like I can't go forward, I know no way forward, then came Jesus, the doors being shut. Jesus comes on the scene, and he is more than a match for any locked door or thickened walls or any fortified walls that may be built up around in my mind. The Lord knows how to come through those very places in our life and meet us where our need is and be greater than the problem that we're facing. I want hope and faith to be kindled in the hearts of everyone here today. You may not be going through this need today, but you may be going through it not too far in the future. And if that time comes, I want you to remember, and believe the Lord wants you to remember, that Jesus is still there. And he's still more than a match. I'm thinking of this also, this thought of then came Jesus. Do you remember also over, and I want to turn to that Mark. Let's go over into Mark. You remember when he had sent his disciples, Mark the 6th chapter, he'd sent his disciples on, the crowd was all there, and he'd sent his disciples, put them in a ship, told them, y'all go on over. Mark the 6th chapter, and we're going to go to the around the 40. Maybe the 45th verse, I believe. Straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side, go on before him unto Bethsaida, while he sent the people away. You see, the people were thronging them, couldn't hardly get away. Oh, there's a lot of needy people in there. There's a lot of needs. Jesus was ministering to them, but folks, there comes a time that we just can't cover all the bases. We're going to have to get alone with the Lord. Jesus sent all the people away, and when he had sent them away, he departed himself into a mountain to pray. Oh, it got refilled. I don't know. There's no record of what he prayed about, but I would say he got over there alone with his Father, and oh, there got to be some communion going on there. There was some sharing. Folks, that's an important thing for you and I to establish in our life. those times of communion. I'm not talking about just habitual prayer that I just go through and I've learned the words to say. And I'm, that's good also, folks. I'm not saying, but Lord wants the prayer to be from the heart. And He wants there to be some communion, some sharing, some real close companionship goes on right there. Well, Jesus was up there in the mountain, went up there to pray. The 47th verse, and when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. And He alone on the land. So this sounds like about evening time. They went across, and then it's gone. He saw them toiling in rowing. Sound like it was a difficult time. Toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, and I looked that up and wanted to know what that was. Now it's about even time, He sent them away. I looked up what the fourth watch of the night was, and it sounds to me like this was just about daybreak. Right when the sun's coming up, the dawning. Now, folks, if you've been rowing that hard all night and not made much progress, you would be... That's a long night. Have you ever had any long nights where it looked like the day had never come? Looked like help wasn't going to come, and the wind was contrary? And it looked like that the hope was gone and you didn't know what to do next. And all the progress you was trying to make, it seemed like every time you dipped the oar in the water and tried to scoot forward, you went back the same amount. Have you ever felt that way? Well, if you haven't, you're likely to. And I want you to know Jesus is still watching. Then came Jesus. That's a theme I want to carry through this whole message. He saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them walking on the sea.
Amen.
About the fourth watch of the night, He came to them. Right in the midst of their inability to make any progress with the situation. Right in the middle of the time, it looked like there was no hope to go. They wanted rest too. Did you know that? They wanted to get over to the other side and just be able to lie down and rest all night long. The day's about ready to break. I imagine their arms were aching. Every fiber in them wanted to stop. And Jesus was watching. And He came to them. Forward, forward is the battle cry. Onward, onward to our home on high. Saints, don't quit. The devil still trembles at your resolve. I will make it by the grace of God. Not looking at the waves. And another account tells us about Peter. When he saw he was right there in a boat, and here came Jesus walking on the water. You children, maybe you remember that song, Along Came Jesus Walking on the Water. He came right over there to him. And Peter, looking out, at first was afraid. When the Lord sometimes comes, it's hard for us in our distress to even recognize. Sometimes we're afraid. But the Lord's right there, and He stays. And He begins to call to us. He said, don't be afraid. It's me. It's me. Peter said, if that's you, tell me to let me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, just come right on. And He stepped right out. Put His foot on the water. And started coming. He made one mistake, didn't He? What was it that He started doing? He started looking around. Isn't that human? I don't mean to make excuses for the human. God wants us to keep our eyes on Him. But I want to tell you, if you find yourself in that position, God is right there. And what did Jesus do? Did Jesus chastise him? I'm sure He gave him some counsel. But He reached right down there and picked him right back up. And God wants to do that for you and I today. Then came Jesus. I don't know today. There may be people here today that has fortified prison walls that the devil, it seems like that you're in. And it seems like there's no way to gain the victory out of where you are. I want to tell you today, if you want to make heaven, God can help you make heaven. And not only limp, he doesn't want you to be a cripple limping all your life. Take those places and bring it to the Lord. There sometimes needs to be an emptying out. Bring ourselves to the altar and say, Lord, here it is. Here's the things I'm struggling with. You see the places that's built up in my life. You see the disappointments that I felt. You see the hurt feelings that I'm nourishing. You see the places that are built up in my life. Those prison houses, those walls that are built around people, God wants to break those. He wants to come through them. And he wants to do like he did to Thomas. He said, here I am. What was Thomas's response? Did he say, oh, I still don't believe you? Did you know what he said now? He didn't even need to touch. Didn't need to put his hand in the hole. He didn't need that now. He was before Jesus. Then came Jesus in the middle of the depth of the need. Folks, I want to tell you, God is still the same today. Jesus still cares. Jesus still wants to heal. Oh, bodies, yes, but he wants to heal everything about our spirit that is broken. And he wants to make that right. Be of good cheer, he says. It is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind, what'd it do? Oh, it turned the boat over. No. The wind laid down, calm as glass. Oh, where's your faith today? That's one. Remember another time the disciples were out there toiling in the midst of the sea and the waves were boisterous and came around and it looked like they were going to sink and Jesus was sleeping. And finally one cried out and said, don't you care? And Jesus stood up. Now, don't you care that we're about to die? Jesus stood up and he just said, peace. Be still. And there was a great calm. What about you today? Where's the winds? Do you have your eyes on the waves that seem to be lapping at your feet? And sometimes they do. But until Peter began to focus on all the waves that were, I don't know, it could be this wave was coming at him, looked like it was taller than he was, and he looked like it was going to, folks, waves are big sometimes. It looks like it's going to overwhelm him, and there's nothing I can do. Jesus, I'm about. But you know, he was walking on top of that water. And I believe if he wouldn't have been looking at that, his feet, next step would have been just like stepping on top of steps. He'd just right on top. Up on top of that wave, we could see farther around. That's what the Lord wants to do for you. He doesn't want to leave you in a place of despair. He wants to give us healing and bring us up. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. You see, they had quickly forgotten what the Lord had already done. Is that human? Yes, but it's part of the human that needs to be chastened. Lord, help us not to be so forgetful. Amen. Is that something we're prone? Yes, it is. But folks, that's part of what the Lord would like for you and I to bring our bodies under. Remember what Paul said? I bring my body under. When our memory tries to overcome what God says, we need to cause our memory to lie down and be quiet and receive what God says. When everything about me tries to say, oh no, may our faith rise above the human and grasp the Then came Jesus. What God does. And there was a great calm. And see, they had forgotten what the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. For their heart was hardened. They had forgotten. They had allowed all these other things to get in their way. Their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, Jesus was there with them. Straightway, the people there at Gennesaret recognized who he was. They knew who he was. They knew him, and they ran through the whole region round about, began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was, and whithersoever he entered into a village or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that he might touch, if it were but for the border of his garment. And as many as touched were made whole. Then came Jesus. Has he stopped passing by today? No, he hasn't. Has he touched your heart? Has he called? Have you ever heard his call? Have you felt his touch? Have you felt his inspiration? You remember, there was a little man. This, again, children, this is a story you ought to know well. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man. You remember the story. But it's a true story. There was a man who, I don't know for what reason, but he was evidently a small man of stature. And Jesus, he was going down this road, and this little man wanted to see him so bad, and he was small, and he climbed up in a tree so he could get a better look. And Jesus was going by, and I believe because of the throng around him, Jesus could have kept right on going. You know, whenever you've got a lot of stuff, a lot of things going around, sometimes some things you just don't notice. And this man was up in the tree. I think he was peeking out there looking. And Jesus comes along. Then came Jesus, folks. Here was a man that I believe, by the evidence of the story as it continues, I believe he had an ache in his heart. I believe this Zacchaeus had come to a point he hated who he had become. He had been unjust. He had gathered more money, taxed people more than what they had deserved. And he collected this money and put it in his own pocket. He was a thief. A thief never feels good. Zacchaeus had built his life and had evidently a fine home and a certain amount of riches. And Jesus was walking by, and I believe that Jesus could hear the cry of that one up in the tree. I believe he was walking by, and I believe he purposed to go that way. And he stops, and he looks up. He says, "Won't you come on down?" "Oh, come on, Zacchaeus. I want to go home with you today." What does Jesus do when he gets in the middle of a needy place? Your place, your needy place. What does he do? He went home and dined with Zacchaeus. And while he was there talking with Zacchaeus, oh, there was something about the presence of God. No, Zacchaeus felt judged, yes. But not just judged. He felt like there was one redeeming him. There was one there to make it right. And Zacchaeus, as he was busy trying to make something, he said, he began to repent. "All this, I've taken so much, I'll give it back." Amen. Jesus told him, "I've come here. I've got to dine with you, but all today, salvation. I've come here to seek you. You need healing, Zacchaeus." I'm putting that in my words. That's what he's telling him. And Zacchaeus, there was a great change came in his life that day. Then came Jesus. the doors being shut. And he began to open up. Now, you remember, I want to go over also a few more instances in the Scripture. I won't turn to them. I will relate them to you. You remember also when they went across, there's another account over here in the Gennesaret region, I believe it is that area. There was a man came out of the tombs. You remember what his name was Legions. Legion had such a condition that everyone that even cared for him and tried to help him, there was no way for him to get help. It seemed like he was so bound with all the forces that the pain, something was so terrible that he himself would cut himself. He lived among the dead. You recognize, you remember the case. And here, then, again, I want to inject this term. Then came Jesus. Came across, stepped out, and here he came down. Why'd you come here? You came here to torment me before my time. No. Folks, I want to tell you, when you begin to see your wickedness, when that is revealed to you and I, it is not to torment us before our time, but it's to help us to recognize there is one here to deliver us from that wickedness. Legion recognized his terrible place, his terrible condition. And he came there, oh, why'd you come here? Torment me. Everybody's tried to help me in the past, and there's never been any help. Oh, they've chained me, but I've broken those chains. This power is greater than I can handle. And Jesus knew that. And he came right there, and he confronted the issue. He confronted the very seed of the evil. And he attacked it with all the power of heaven. Then came Jesus, and I want to tell you, when he was through with that man, he was seated, clothed and in his right mind. Victory had come. Then came Jesus. Has he lost his power today? Is our faith more on the waves that are about to roll over us? Do you have your thinking? Do you have your eyes? Do you have your mind today on all the troubles that seems to be going around? I want to tell you, those troubles, sometimes they're real. But did you know God can still cause you to walk on the water? Then came Jesus. And all it looks like maybe that you and I, there's no way you and I can get the victory in this. Don't worry about getting it in your own strength, because you never will. But looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that's where our focus must be. That's where it must be maintained. Don't look at the troubles round about, your troubles or other people's troubles or things that are so complicated it looks like there's no answer to. I want to tell you, leave the answering business with the Lord, because He knows how to deal with it. You and I, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, then came Jesus. The doors looked like locked so tightly that there was no way to gain the victory. I want to tell you, He came right through it. And He deals with the problem. There was another man. Remember the story of blind Bartimaeus?
Yeah.
Hadn't been able to see. Never had. But all he heard, he was walking by. You remember that story? Yeah. Jesus was coming by. Now, son of David. And came Jesus, folks. Everybody else was telling him, just be quiet. He doesn't have time for you. Everybody else is more important than you. Ever felt that way? You ever come to a meeting? Feel like everybody else, they have their friends and they talk to one another and I'm over in the corner. You ever felt that way? You're not the first one felt that way. Imagine if we all got to talking. Even those you feel like are popular and everybody cares about it. If you talk to them, I would say that they would tell you, you know, I felt the same way. You know, the devil would like to try to use that to cause us to feel discouraged and feel insignificant. Then came Jesus. I want to tell you, the Lord doesn't want you and I to get so crushed and feel like that nobody cares about me. The devil would like to try to cause us to feel that way, but the Lord, He wants us to be free from that. Bartimaeus was over there crying out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And people were saying, "Shh, be quiet. You're blind, you're just a beggar." I don't know what all they said, but I imagine it was hurtful. There was something in Bartimaeus' heart, "I've got to have." Folks, don't let anything stand between you and the help that God has for you. Don't let anything stand between you and Jesus. He cried out the more. Cried out louder. I'm sorry? A great deal, yes. He kept. And it said Jesus stopped. Came to him. "What do you need me to do?" "I need my sight. I need help, Lord." You know what Jesus did? He healed him. Gave him his sight. I hope the Lord expands this to your mind today. The blindness, these different instances that we're talking about. I don't know where you are today, but I know the tactics of the devil. He'll try to blind us. He'll try to enslave us. He'll try to chain us. He'll try to add multitude after multitude of reasons why I can't ever get the victory. He'll try to add those, multiply those in our minds. He'll try to tell us that there's no reason to go forward. I want to tell you, those are all the lies of Satan. And I hope today that the Lord will help you and I to look above that and begin to recognize that Jesus is passing by. That Jesus is coming to where you are. And He knows your name. And He knows your need. When He came in there where Thomas was, He still knew His name. He didn't reject Him. He knows the need of your heart and the depth and the complexity of the issues in our life. And He knows how to cause healing to take place. He knows how to build in our life securities and line upon line and precept upon precept. He knows how to build the fortifications of holiness in our life. He knows how to do that. Let Him do it. Turn loose of our doubts and fears. Quit looking on the failings of the past. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Turn consciously away from the things that might be causing even disappointments today or fears, not knowing what. Oh, the devil's attacking God's church. He always has. This isn't new. This is our day in the battle that we're in. But I want to tell you, don't look at the battle, but look unto Jesus. Look unto the one that calls you and I away from those type of down, discouraging things. Look up. Press the battle on. You be true and faithful to the Lord. You be the one. I don't care if anybody else around you accepts the truth. You do it. I want to tell you, young folks and old alike, when Jesus passes by and wins our heart and our affection, and we cling unto Him with all of our heart, and we begin to run this race, strip for the race. When I cut everything away and hunger and thirst after the Lord with all my heart, seek Him, I want to tell you, it begins to create something. We begin to be clothed with His righteousness. His character begins to shine out from us. And you know what? There are other people then will be looking on and they're going to say, "That brother or that sister, they got something." And they may have ridiculed you in the past and said those things aren't important, but when they begin to see the glory of the Lord in your life, there's going to become a time more than likely in their life that they're going to say, "I wish I had something like that." And then they may have a hunger to come over there. "Tell me where He is. Where dost thou, dear shepherd, resort? Oh, I want to feed where you are." And they're going to come around and they're going to need people that stay faithful and true. in the middle of all the things going on right now in people's minds, the devil's attacks, I want to tell you, then came Jesus. He's still the same. Recount this also. You'll find it over in Luke, the 24th chapter. There were two disciples, you remember, that were so downcast. And it looked like everything they had put their hope and faith in had just crumbled. It looked like we thought he had been the one. You remember? They were talking as they was going along. And I imagine they were shaking their head. Brother, you remember? I think one of his name was Cleophas. I'm not sure. But anyway, you can read it. Get Kleenex. But they were going along, talking back and forth, and reasoning, yes. And our hopes had gotten so high. We thought he was the one. For years we'd heard the prophets talk about this one. And everything looked like it was coming together. The prophecies were being revealed. It looked like that was the one. But we saw him die. And he put him in that grave. We saw it. And my hope, I don't know now where to put it. Folks, have you ever felt that way? Have you felt like that? I thought I had the mind of the Lord. I thought this is what is, and it looked like everything I've done now, it looks like it's crumbled round about. Folks, hold on.
Amen.
Hold on. That doesn't mean you're not going to have those times of feeling downcast. But don't give up. These brethren were walking along like that. And don't you know, there was a purpose for why Jesus came by?
Yes.
Before he left us this. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. And he means it still today. I will not leave you. If you want to make heaven today, if you want to feel the joy of the Lord in your heart today, you follow on and know the Lord. You get a hold of Him. You seek Him. You maintain your faith in the Lord. Hold on to Him. And they felt like they were so disappointed. But then came Jesus. And He came right up there beside them and began to walk along. And they were so overwrought with their burdens and their disappointment that they still didn't recognize Him. And walking along, and He said, "Why? What are y'all talking about?" And they began, "Well, where are you from? Are you new in this area? Haven't you?" Oh, it's terrible things that went on. And they began to recount that to Him. And then Jesus began to open up the Scripture to them. See, it wasn't this supposed to happen. Wasn't that the way it was supposed to happen? Remember what that prophet said over there? Wasn't this just a fulfillment of it? Well, maybe it could have been, but I saw him die. He's dead. Can't you understand? We told you he's dead. But he rose again. You sure? My faith can't take it in. I'm putting those words, I don't know. They had the conversation. Jesus began to talk with him as it went on down the road. Got to a place that they thought they was going to have supper and close out the day, going to spend the night. They got ready to eat, and when they bowed their head to pray, Jesus began to pray. Have you ever had those times when you bowed your head, got alone with the Lord, and all the great mountains that had been before your eyes before begin to melt away in the reality of the presence of God? I believe when their heads begin to bow, Possibly their eyes were closed when they were praying, but their spiritual eyes all of a sudden popped wide open. And inside them they said, "This is Him. It's Him. He is risen." And hope bounded from its prison house. Faith grasped. And they couldn't even stay there that night. They headed back. Then came Jesus. Yes. Folks, He's still the same today.
Glory to you. He opened up the scriptures.
Yes. I didn't say it in those words, but that's exactly what He was doing. He's going down. He opened up the scriptures to them, began to help them to understand what those prophecies meant.
And all the what a message.
Yes. I liked to have been there for that message. But He's still preaching today, folks. He's still preaching to you. In the middle of your life, in the happy times of your life, He's preaching. In the downcast places of your life, He's preaching. He still comes by and begins to expound to you and I. Call to us. Oh, come on down. I want to go home and eat with you. I want to spend some time with you. Will you go with me? Will you take my hand? Let's go here in this closet. Let's shut the door. Let the world shut it out. Let's communicate. Let's commune. That's what He said. Doesn't He want us to go into our closet and just shut the door and commune with Him? Don't you know He wants to restore our hearts? That's what He wants to do. I want to turn now over in John, the 14th chapter. He comes to us, willing to come to us in all these seasons of life, all these needs that we have. Now here's a different, before up to this point I've said, then came Jesus. Did you know He's coming back? He's coming back. John the 14th chapter, and He says at the first verse, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now this verse is great, full of hope. And He's talking to those who have an interest to follow Him. He's talking to those who are following Him. And He says, it's a great and hopeful message. But to those who aren't ready, that's not a hopeful message. I want to implore you today to be ready. He's going to come again. Over in Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew 16 and 27. I can turn there quickly here. Having a hard time getting there. Starting maybe here at the 24th. "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." This means that if you and I want to cling to our old ways, want to try to protect my own ideas and try to argue my own points against the Lord's way, I want to tell you, you're going to lose your life. If you want to try to protect your old carnal ways, you're going to lose it. It's going to fade away. "If any man, let him deny himself, take up his cross. If you would try to save your life, you'll lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited? He should gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. He's coming again. Another place it records that He would separate the sheep from the goats. He would say, Jesus is going to do that. He's going to come again. Then came Jesus. Now, the accounts that we've been talking about up to here was times when Jesus came as our Savior. He comes as our Savior, as our healer, as our helper in life. And today is yet that day of salvation. Today is yet that day where He reigns as our Savior, as our King, as the one who would lift you and I from the degradation of sin, cut off the old sinful things in our life, bring you and I out onto the plane of holiness where we can live righteously and purely in the sight of God. But I want to tell you, if we neglect so great a salvation, there will be a day that then comes Jesus again. He's going to come again. And we've known and recognized, we've heard recently there was a man claiming that the end of time was just, he had a day when it was going to happen. And when I heard it got out in the news, everybody began to talk about it. And then there was a little, almost a laugh and a chuckle in the voice when it didn't happen. You know, when we falsely use the Word of God, it does damage in people's minds. But did you know it's still going to happen? Still going to happen. I don't care how much we've built up in our mind that, oh, we've heard that over and over and over again. People have made claims. I remember seeing a sign one time, this was a long time ago, back when the hippie movement was around. There was a man all scraggly, haired and beard and just unkempt, and he's holding up a sign, you know, the end is nigh. It didn't fit. Picture didn't fit at all. And you know, it was a laughable. People took pictures of it because it didn't fit. It was a laughable thing. They were poking fun. But you know, it's still true. Still true. He's going to come again. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a time when the Lord wants you, He wants to help you and I in all the places in life. He'll come by if you're a Zacchaeus and you've got this hunger in your heart and you're tired of who you've been and you just, and He hears the cry of your heart, folks. He said, I want to come and dine with you. And He wants to bring healing, bring restoration in that heart. If we find ourselves like a legion, it seems like everything I'm so bound I can't get free. I want to tell you, Jesus still comes. He comes by. He's here today. But then there is going to be a day that He'll come as a judge. At that point, it's over with. I was, don't know what words to use here. I was, when I heard recently a recording of some people who were in a walk-in, either refrigerator or freezer, at a convenience store up in Joplin when the tornado was hitting. They were in there and they were afraid, and as the wind, you could hear the wind beating on that thing. You could hear things crashing around. As that approached, you could hear the fear rise in their voices. And one woman was just saying, Jesus, Jesus. You know, don't get me wrong, I think it's good to be saying that, good to be praying. And one of the young men that was there, he said, I want you all to know, I love you. I love you all. I love everyone. This was the response of people who were, in their mind, were believing that the end was very near for them. And that was just a tornado. That wasn't the judgment. Said men in that day will cry for rocks and mountains to cover them. Now, what we have focused on in the first part of this message is the healing, delivering power of Jesus Christ. Then came Jesus. But there's going to be a day that He's going to judge the quick and the dead. There's going to be a day. And I want to ask you today, whatever it takes. Don't cling to any hurts of the past. Don't cling to anything that gets built up in your mind. Don't let troubles around the church affect you. Only, I want to tell you, God's still got a church. She's pure and beautiful. And you can be part of that. God still is calling His church out of confusion. And He wants you and I to catch a vision of that. And God calls us up higher. Get a vision of Him. And then came Jesus. He knows how to bring you and I out. Don't let those things affect you. Don't let those things cast you down. Whatever it takes, look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Cling to Him with all your heart. And I want to tell you, if you do that, the second coming of Jesus will be just like He said over here in John, "Let not your heart be troubled. I've got a place for you. I have prepared the glories of the Lord," not only over there, folks, but also here. "I'll go and prepare, for if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Are we ready today? Or are we letting the waves of life or the issues of life, are we letting those things so absorb my mind and my thinking that I've lost sight of Jesus? Thomas had some of that too. Is your heart still, or do you want to make heaven? If you listen real close, I believe you hear the footsteps of Jesus coming through your walls. And let's have that response like Thomas did. He fell down. And he said, "My Lord." There was no resistance then. Allow the Lord to heal the places in your life. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. And there is a day coming that He will come in the clouds. Remember when the disciples over there in Acts, He was ascending. And they were standing around there and looking. And He ascended and said a cloud, like a mist, enveloped Him. And they couldn't see Him anymore. And He stood there, I imagine, wanting to catch the last glimpse if they could. And while they were so intent on that, somebody appeared at their elbow, said, "Ye men of Galilee, why are you still looking up here?" He said, "He'll come again. As you've seen Him go, He's going to come again. The same Jesus. He's coming back." And He is. Now, He wants to be real in every one of our hearts today. But there will be a day that right now, He wants to reside. We have a song that says, "My heart shall be Thy throne." That's where He wants to be. And then eventually, He will still come again in the clouds of glory to call all this into judgment. And He will separate the goats from the sheep. Be ready. Let Him be King of our hearts now. Let Him heal the places. Let Him build in our lives the sweet presence of the Lord, the sweet glory of His holiness in our life. Let Him do that now. He wants to take you in your imperfect state right now and begin perfecting it. Amen. Let Him do it. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.
Amen.
And I want you all to be encouraged. Keep right on going.